Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
Hey, very good evening on this Friday, fairly warm Friday night. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde. All for repcoservice.com for expert car air conditioning service. You can rely on visit repcoservice.com. Blighty, how are you?
Hello, David. Yeah, good night at the Dogs last night. It's great at Engle Park, isn't it?
And Tony got a winner up as you walked out.
Yeah, just walked out. I play golf today, 33 points, one in our little four, so that's lovely. So the lotto ticket goes on, the other boys pay for it.
What an interesting day. Went for a long walk, 6 or 7 k's, got home, sat down, got out of the chair, my back's just seized.
Oh, mate.
Tin soldier at the moment, can't bend over. Very, 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 gee, backs, they can be so... Well, cranky. You've had a bad back for a long while.
Yeah, I shouldn't say this. Lindsay Heaven's probably listening, who played golf with today. I left my socks off when I left home today, so I couldn't. I waited until I got in the golf cart and try and help me put them on.
It's sad, isn't it?
Yeah, it's stiff. Anyhow.
We've been talking about the captaincy for Australia, Steve Smith. I think most people are warming to him, but Will Swanton writes an article for The Australian. I read The Australian every day, and he had one out of left field. He said, you know, remember Mike Brearley?
Yes, I do.
Wouldn't have been in the best 20 England cricketers, but he was captain.
Yes,
very, very astute captain, and he made up for it there. But Will Swanton's saying he would drop Matthew Wade, bat Finch in the middle order. He said he's got the best cricket brain out of anyone, bar none, in Australia. Having said that, Renegade's the bottom. He's not making a run. He admits that, but he said everybody acknowledged. So he's got Pekowski back at the top of the order. He drops Harris.
Yep.
He brings in Carey for Payne.
A lot of people don't like that, do they? A lot of the players in the team don't like that because obviously he's been terrific, Payne. But his last couple of tests, I know he had that man of the match here and all that and did okay after getting dropped a lot of times and getting what I call regulation catches, weren't they? Quickies were good.
If Tim Payne's not captain, I think that makes his position in the side more tenuous too because he was a fill-in. But they're saying Carey will make hundreds if he plays test cricket. He's a beautiful batsman, made a wonderful 100 last night of 62 balls. And he also dropped Mitchell Starc. So Starc was out. I think it was either Pattinson or maybe Jai Richardson that came in.
Interesting call that. It's been a long while since I've liked Starc opening the bowling. I like the other two lads, you know, Cummins and Hazelwood.
But he does swing it.
Yeah, let him come on after. I've always thought that he's a bit too rough. He hasn't got a wicket for a long while. He gets occasional wicket early, but then it's just too – he's too wild. I know he's quick, but he's wild.
He's dropped off. Now, Nathan Lyon has dropped off, but there's no one to replace him. Nathan's spot is safe as ours. There's just no one to come in there for Nathan Lyon. But the Finch one, I've always maintained you've got to – be in the best 11 or 12 cricketers, then you pick a captain, just like a football side.
Exactly. Couldn't agree more. I think he averaged early 20s in his batting, and he was there as a batsman.
Brilliant. Well, he opened against India in the last series, and he really struggled against Bumrah. I don't think he's technically correct to be a test cricketer, but just interesting. Yeah, he used the John Brearley, Mike Brearley analogy.
Yeah, no, I wouldn't. I'm sorry about that. Now, listen, David, we don't talk about the NFL. This is the American game, gridiron as we call it. The conference championship games are coming up Monday, so hopefully in the morning there. And it's the Green Bay Packers, of course, Vince Lombardi fame, plaguing on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, which are...
Is it not Brady?
Brady's team.
How well has he done?
Unbelievable.
To get him in the playoffs?
Can you believe that? Tom Brady... The team he left, the Patriots, which had been smashed everyone for all the whole time he's there, he's now gone then and got him into the conference, one
just
game
on
away
that,
from the Super Bowl.
The Patriots, that was Belichick, the coach to him, and Brady for so long. I watched a Netflix series on Hernandez, who was a running receiver for the Patriots, and Brady would throw it to him, he'd score touchdowns. Just signed a $40 million five-year contract, just signed, and he went out and... shot his best mate, involved with a couple others, and then got into an argument at a nightclub, saw the two blokes later driving as he's driving home, pulled up at the lights, pulled a gun out and shot both of them dead. Now, this is a guy, he was still playing at the time for the Patriots. Then he went to jail and hung himself, so not a good end of the story, but just sort of bring that up while you're talking about the Patriots.
That's one of the great sporting stories. I'm really, the other game then, let's just changing tack here, was Kansas City Chiefs, the winners from last year, Patrick Mahomes, the great new young quarterback, against the Buffalo Bills. So they're the two games to find out the two Super Bowl from early February.
Can you still call them the Chiefs? I mean, anything with the Redskins has been outlawed. They're just Washington now, I think. Remember how it was Washington Redskins?
Don't you remember Maxwell Smart in Get Smart?
Yeah.
Chief. They're the Chief.
Yeah, but are they talking about Indians as in Chief or not? Like getting rid of any connotation connected with the anything that's politically incorrect.
Yeah, okay. Well, the Buccaneers, is that politically correct? Are we allowed to call them Buccaneers anymore? Can't we call them Pirates, not Buccaneers?
Well, you won't be able to say anything shortly. But they've had a strange season too. A lot of the guys have had COVID. They've had no crowds. It's been really tough. But that's one of the games I do like watching, actually, Super Bowl. Don't watch too many in between. I've been to a game.
Yeah, so have I. Yeah, takes forever. 2.5-3 hours a game. It really does. It really does take a long time with all the mucking around and all that sort of stuff.
We just got Sam said, didn't they rename Coon Cheese? They have. I think they called it Cheers or something now.
Yeah, Cheer.
Look in the phone book. Our phone book, there's about 30 people called Coon.
Can I tell you something? It's actually named after a fella who was named
Nick, Coon.
His surname is Coon. Okay, how does that come about? How can anyone? What do I get on that for? Hey, listen, Sky Sport New Zealand Breakers player Dan Trist will miss tonight's game against the Adelaide 36ers and will need to be isolated from the team for 14 days. A family member has been given permission to interview him. So he's following COVID protocols. Geez, that's a big story, isn't it?
That is
a big story.
Well, it's all around. Everything's a big story now. The tennis, the NFL, the soccer. I saw the EPL had at 60 players with COVID. It's all over the place.
That game's going to start at 7 o'clock, so that's a massive out. I wonder, touch wood. They're going to have to touch wood there, aren't they? Hopefully not, he hasn't got in any other trouble with any other people.
What do you make of Alex Carey last night?
Alex, well, we were at the Dogs, and it was on in the
glimpses.
Yeah, sort of glimpses on in the background, and saw some highlights. Oh, look, it's interesting, isn't it? I read today where those two, when they won in 17-18, the Strikers, those two were the openers, Carey and Weatherall.
Weatherall, yep.
So maybe that might be the secret ingredient at the top of order. Weatherall can go fairly hard and quickly, can't he? And that gives Alex Carey, who can do that too, maybe gives him another over just to have another look.
I just feel his time is ready now.
Yeah.
I mean, there's no point in waiting another year or two for Tim Payne was a filling captain that came from obscurity.
Yes, he did.
You know, he wasn't even going to be within the top 20 or 30 players. He thought his career was over. And he's done, to his credit, he's done a pretty good job. You know, wasn't dealt a great hand when he took over. But I think you've got to look at. You've got to be looking at the coach, the selectors.
Absolutely.
I don't think Australia are playing with they're not ruthless like they used to be. And I read an article today, Blighty, they were saying why India are so good. It's not just because they've got 1.5 billion people.
No, that's rubbish.
They play a lot of these List A games, and they play against England. I think they'd played 45, their second 11.
Team, yeah.
And Australia played 16. Australia got rid of coaches. I think Ryan Harris is a few that have just dropped off. They're citing money reasons. Or Rahul Dravid, who coaches India's A team, he's on over $1 million a year.
$1 million?
They've got the money, the funds, and they're getting all these kids. That's where Gill came through, the List A game, and Washington Sundar, all these guys that can't make their regular side. Now, if Australia are cost cutting, it's not going to help down the track because we were trying to find the next five or six best kids around. It's not easy to find them.
Just on that. I mean, you would have read this, and so have I, that Southern District's District Cricket Premier team and the Adelaide team are going to amalgamate. You know, this is on after Mike Hussey's
review.
I'm always interested. I know the higher standard you play against, you have to lift. Everyone has to lift. But I reckon the good ones come through. And one of the things is you've got to get more people playing cricket. Do you agree that they should go back to a 10 or 18 competition
here? Yeah, I think you've got to make it as strong as you can. I know in Sydney, they've got 5 million, 7 million people. They've got 16 teams or whatever. Adelaide don't have the population. I think they've stuffed around with Shield cricket. I don't think Shield cricket's what it used to be either. But there's no crowds there. People come in, they have flat tracks, people make a lot of easy runs. Then they go into the Big Bash. I think cricket have got it wrong. If Australia are to be the powerhouse in Test cricket, you've got to look at the scheduling. It's just all over the place. Shield cricket, Big Bash, Test cricket, T20, one-dayers. It's all over the place. So
hasn't the Big Bash almost replaced the Shield cricket that we used to know? Let's turn back the clock 30 years, 20 years even. Shield cricket was something to behold, wasn't it? You had to make runs and that was a good competition.
Well, it's the second best of Test cricket.
That's exactly right. So that's now almost out the door. The BBL, 14 games of BBL, has almost taken a slot of Shield cricket now. Mm. So the players aren't playing four-day games?
Well, the problem is, Bloody, one game sort of melds into the next, and you made the point they're all on around, make 160, 170. Well, last night was an exception, but then they try and chase it.
I couldn't believe it. 197 they made. That's a massive score. Yeah. And now we've got Mark. Hi, Mark. You want to have a chat on about the cricket?
I was thinking about those two teams merging, right?
Yep.
You've got Adelaide, like inner city, and you've got the Southern, is it Southern District?
Yes, it is, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, one's nearly Loolunga, and the other one's into Adelaide. I mean, the better idea is to find two teams that are close to each other. I know there's a few western suburb cricket teams. Get those two to merge. I mean, that's a lot of difference. I don't know if the members are going to be happy about it, because you got one on one side, you got one on the other side. And my second part of the question, I feel sorry for the wicketkeeper for South Australia and Head. Those two guys, if they're in New South Wales, they will be in the Test squad. Just don't be a South Australian, you just won't get in.
It's an interesting comment that. I just with the cricket, I mean, I went through this, I reckon, sort of still being on the books at the Woodville District Cricket Club, got notified that they were being considered to be merged or with somebody else. Two or three years ago. So this has resurrected its head again, and there was a big push on to actually stay as an identity called the Woodville District Cricket Club. Since then, of course, and we've looked at the merger of the Woodville and West Torrens in the football, and that's been a really good merger. I've just got this feeling there's someone going to put that together again.
Bloody and Wheels to Repco Authorised Services. Go to Johnny from Port Augusta. Hi, John.
Hi, boys. Yeah, you touched on the cricket there. Do you blokes think that they will ever go back to making the Sheffield Shield a really strong competition, well, put more importance on it and lower down the Big Bash? Not get rid of it, but give it less importance of the Big Bash and all the rest, because that's where the money is. I love my Shield cricket, my Test cricket. I hardly watch any Big Bash.
Yeah.
I might grab a score here and there, but that's about it. But do you blokes ever think that they will get rid of it and bring back Shield cricket?
John, I think that horse has bolted. I think the Big Bash has taken over, and the kids, the young kids, like, I mean, I still like watching the Big Bash, by the way, and I do watch most games.
Too much of it.
Yeah, and I didn't watch as much Shield. You know why? They didn't put it on TV.
No.
I mean, they've only...
No one goes to Shield cricket.
No. But we didn't actually have it all those years ago, but we all followed the scores and the teams.
When I was 10 or 12, I used to go to the Adelaide Oval. They'd have 10,000 at a Shield game for an important game.
Yeah.
It's gone now.
Yeah.
Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV with an elevated ride height. You'll see it all. Miles Fitz not far away. We've also got Tim Lane to talk about the Tasmania. Should they have a team in or should they not? Tim Lane not far away.
Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company. That's Lumo SA.
Yeah, Tim Lane not far away, Bloody and Wills for Keno. Only a dollar a game with a draw every few minutes. There's always time for a spot of Keno. Play today, gamble responsibly. Well, a man on fire, Malcolm, is Miles Fitzner. Three from three last week.
Beautiful.
And I reckon two from two the week before. He's been absolutely outstanding. Tips for Gawler tomorrow. Get better odds fast on the new Betfair app. Gamble responsibly. You can call 1-800-858-858. 858 is welcome, Miles.
Bloody Wilds, thanks for having me on. I had to record these a little bit earlier as I'm a little bit busy, but geez, good to come off a week 3 from 3. Anyway, you're only as good as your last tip, so hopefully we can go again. I'm going to start with my best bet. It's going to be race 3, number 4, a horse called Magnetic Edge. I think he finds this race, his horse. Our last couple of starts have been solid in the placings. Saren Fort goes on board for John Hickmont. Now, they've got the best trainer and jockey strike rate of any trainer and jockey at Gawler, way, way ahead of the others. I think you're going to get around that $3 to $4 mark for this horse. So that's going to be my best of the day. My value is going to be race 5, number 4, a horse called Toff Love. Now, in the David Jolly camp, another Grand Syndicate's horse like Calypso Rain that I tipped into you blokes last week at $4.60 or $4.80, and it meets another Philip Stokes galloper that's going to be really short in the market in Taken Off. Now, Taken Off's a big chance, but I think Toff Love's going to drift a little bit, might get out to around that sort of 7, 7.20 mark. I think you can play the horses low flying, and I think you can play there. I was going to lay Taken Off in the same race, but I thought I'd spread a little bit of risk just to keep the strike rate up, if you know what I mean. So we'll go race 9, number 3, a horse called Tomb Raider. Now, I'm tipping Magic D in that race because it's going to be hot. I think that's got the least amount of weight. Tomb Raider's got to carry 59.5. Look, its last couple of starts have been pretty handy with a second and a win, but I think that late in the day and been at the races all day, I think they might get a bit hot and a bit sweaty. So they're my tips. Happy punting, and hopefully we can go 3 from 3 again. Thanks, guys.
Yeah, great stuff. Miles Fitzner, as we said, he is on fire. So race 3, number 4. Race 5, number 4 at odds, and race 9, number 3. Okay, Blighty, you've got about 2 minutes. You've got a bit of Flashback Friday.
Yeah, we have, David. That, do you know in 1970, the first commercial Boeing 747 flight, Pan Am, flew from New York to London, 6.5 hours. You know, the old jumbo. Went on one of those myself. And a test debut on this same very same day was of Barry Richards, the great Barry Richards, versus Australia in Cape Town.
What year was that? 70. Yeah. He only played 4 tests, you know that?
Yeah, I know, that series.
Averaged 68.
Yeah, I remember listening to it on radio. I really can. And in 1988, the first-class cricket debut of Brian Lara for Trinidad and Tobago played against the Leeward Islands. How about that? And in 2020, on this day, listen to this, everybody. China locked down the city of Wuhan with 11 million people to control the COVID-19 pandemic.
So a year today.
Year today.
God.
They announced that there were 17 dead and 500 ill on this day 1 year ago. The world has changed.
What do you make of they don't want to associate Australia Day with the Big Bash Games on Australia Day?
I didn't quite get all that. Well, I don't get it. Let's just celebrate Australia, will you? I don't know why we have these fractures and splinter groups that want to do everything different. Let's just celebrate it. The day, does the day matter? It happens. Just celebrate a day.
I think the more you bring this sort of stuff up, the more you divide.
Probably.
You know, Australia Day's always been a great day.
And I'll tell you
You're proud to be Australian.
Yeah, absolutely. And I'll tell you what else is good. Connor Rosie turns 21 today. So does Paul Seedsman.
Great stuff there. You can join the energy company that knows Adelaide switch to Lumo SA today. We've got Tim Lane coming up. We're going to talk about a team in Tasmania. Tim Lane, not far away.
Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
Welcome back to Sports Day SA. David Wilde and Malcolm Blight for the Weeks Building Group. Thinking new home, you get more at Weeks. We've been discussing Blighty Tasmanian footy. I've always felt that they, even though they're a minnow, they are a football state.
Sure.
You played state footy against them. I can remember the Tasmanian jumper.
Yep.
500,000 people there. It's not a big population, but the Premier's come out and said if he doesn't get any clarity and if they're going to go in or out, they might take away some sponsorship. And who better to talk to than a man that was born in Tasmania, Launceston, wonderful commentator in his own right, is Tim Lane. Tim, thanks for your time. Have you got any thoughts on a team in Tasmania?
Well, thanks for having me, gentlemen. I have, and I'm always happy to share them. I've beaten the drum on this over quite a few years, and I believe strongly that Tasmania should have a team. It's been put to me by Peter Gordon, who, as president of Footscray and later of the Western Bulldogs, has seen the economies of football clubs from both ends of the spectrum of failure and success. He says to me that he believes there's no economic case against Tasmania anymore. So, I mean, if you're prepared to believe that, and I do, without being, you know, a genuine football economist, it is a matter of finding a way of doing it. And I have to say that this has been on the agenda, really, since Tasmania began hosting games, 15 to 20 years ago at York Park in Launceston.
Yeah.
And nothing has happened. And, I say nothing's happened. There's been no progress. But what has happened is that Tasmanian football is on a pathway to terminal decay. And if the games administration doesn't do something about that, a state and its football potential, as well as its history, is lost. And I think there's a responsibility on the AFL to be trying to find a way rather than, as I see it, twiddling their thumbs and hoping that something will come up.
As you know, Tim, a great place to call footy in Tassie, Launceston in particular. They've got the infrastructure there. It is a football state. It wouldn't take much to revive that. The local competitions, we've also heard it's in decline and needs to go the other way.
Well, it's the only way because the AFL is so big. It's a juggernaut and it's not its fault. You know, it speaks of the success of successive football administrations going back to the days of the VFL. But, you know, with the South Australian and Western Australian administrations involved and developing ones, you know, in the East Coast expansion states. So footy has done well in so many ways, but Tasmania has been left behind. And there is only one way. You're either part of the AFL. It's a bit like, you know, Paul Keating saying you either live in Sydney or you're camping out. Well, you're either, in football terms, you're either in the AFL or you're out of it. And if you're out of it, well, there's nowhere to go. I mean, people in Tassie, and there are the misty-eyed brigade, I have to say, who still lament the loss of the old local competitions and, you know, they believe that somehow the glory days of those can be restored. But they can't because these days the footy from all across mainland Australia is televised live, you know, day in, day out during the year. And if you've got a choice of going along and watching a local competition that ain't what it used to be or sitting at home watching the big league on TV, it's a no-brainer. So Tassie has to be included if it's to have healthy football. And I should remind you and your listeners, and Malcolm, I know your history is pretty good, but in those glory days of the carnivals, this is when I was a kid, and this is why I feel so strongly about it, and the carnivals were like footy's Olympics in those days, and in 56 in Perth, and in 58 at the Centenary Carnival in Melbourne, Tasmania beat South Australia. At successive carnivals. And in 58, they also beat WA. Then in 1960, they had a win over a Victorian team at York Park. Perhaps lost among some of those is that in 1963, the team went to Perth and beat Western Australia. So Tasmania was producing mighty footballers in those times, but that's all been allowed to be lost. And the administrators, you know, it's high time, and I applaud the Tasmanian Premier because he's showing a bit of ticker and he's actually throwing down the gauntlet and saying, look, you know, it's time you blokes did something to try and lift us up. Otherwise, we're not going to keep forking out the millions that we've been putting into the coffers of a couple of Melbourne-based clubs.
Tim, I must say, over the journey, working with you, obviously, and discussing things on radio and TV with you over the journey, you've been as consistent as anyone in this push for the Tasmanian team. I think you've got some guys like Jack Riewoldt now, obviously Nick Riewoldt. There's lots of luminaries would love Matthew Richardson. They'd all love to see this happen. The irony of that is, I just talked to our young producer and I was telling him, I did play against Tasmanian state games, as David said, and the last one against them I played really was basically a carnival in Perth in 1972. They were very much part of the fabric of the Big Four, you know, and they, not that they won a lot, but they actually committed themselves and were good, and they got some great players out of it. So I see that. Now, one of the things that you mentioned earlier about the terminal decay, looking back at the numbers, and I had a quick look today, and we know that the drafting from Tasmania has become a drip. you get one, maybe two for the last 5-10 years. And I had a look at the number of players playing in the competition now. It's either 18 or 20, depending on who's retired and who's not and who's going to get a contract. But the irony of that also is that it's still 2% of the players of the 880 or 800 odd are from Tassie. It is 2% of the population. So Tassie still are providing, just through draft, they're not great, but they've at least been drafted, they are providing their share. Get back to a better competition and a better setup there, and I'm sure that will rise to 2.5 or 3%.
No doubt about it. I mean, Tasmania, in football terms, is a bit like a suburb of Melbourne, in that the people have long been fanatical about the football that's played in the state and, of course, now beyond, because it's a national game. And, yes, you know, they breed football, but there hasn't been the inspiration there for them to... And you know, Tasmania needs... there needs to be new ways of, I think, providing young Tasmanians with the level of competition that they need to be, you know, producing more. But I'm sure they will, given the encouragement that involvement in the National League would provide. And, Malcolm, have a look at the Hall of Fame and the legend section, and you're one of them. And it's 29 or 30 now, and four of them are Tasmanian guys. Yeah. And they're all from that era that was talking about earlier. And, you know, I do get misty-eyed because the footy in Tasmania was so good back then. But, you know, from the mid-50s until sort of the mid and late 60s, Tasmania produced these great players. Four Tasmanians in the Hall of Fame, and I'm not saying it to score a point, but WA and South Australia have four between them.
Yep.
Farmer Cable, Blight and Robram. Mm. That's how much Tasmania has punched above its weight. And, I mean, when you look at it in that light, and that's a small sample, but it's illustrative of the contribution that Tasmania has been capable of making when it has, you know, felt included in the football scheme of things and gone to carnivals and played against the best and been given a chance to show its stuff.
Yeah, look, I think so. And having been through the Gold Coast situation too, you know, there's not an ending well of money, but I do think at some stage now that's settled down. I mean, COVID's upset a lot, we know that. But somewhere down the track, whether it be a 19th team or whether it be someone else redirected, that's up for the powers to be. But Tim, I just wanted to mention to David and our listeners that having done a number of games with you down in Tassie, as we did, we'd always try and find a little drinking hole somewhere in Launceston and have a little sip and discuss the footy. And I can't count on. There was just so many people that would come up to Tim and say, Tim, we need a team in Tassie. You know, I can clearly remember it. You know, the locals really wanted it. And, you know, they're the guys that are going to go to the footy, aren't they? Spend their money, be members. But they were passionate about the footy in Tassie.
And, look, I think that's grown too. On the other hand, and to be brutally frank, sometimes Tasmanians sort of exhibit a bit of an inferiority complex, and there are those who say it can't be done, we could never do it sort of thing, and there's no good reason for that, as I see it, but I feel as though the, you know, the ones who are for it are growing in number and growing in conviction, and they've started really looking at this and asking themselves, you know, have we been given a fair deal in all of this? And, you know, I think the answer is a resounding no. People are starting to understand it, and the fact that a state premier now, you know, is prepared to dig his heels in on it, take the political risk, the football risk, in a sense, because hard to know what the AFL are going to do about this. But he's saying, we want a plan. You know, if we're going to keep putting money in, we want to know we've got a real future, not one that is just a matter of convenience for you and the clubs who are the beneficiaries of our money. So things are moving, and I think that's really good. I applaud the Premier without being political about it. I think he's done well. He also, a couple of years ago, his predecessor, Will Hodgman, appointed a task force under the chairmanship of a bloke named Brett Godfrey, who set up Virgin Airlines in Australia, and they produced a report for the government and then for the AFL. And Brett Godfrey has said to me, he went into it by no means sure that he would come up with an affirmative answer. But by the end of it, he's really become a cheerleader for the Tasmanian cause because he believes in it.
We really need you for two parts, Tim. But just very quickly, on the cricket, India, absolutely remarkable. One of the most remarkable series I've seen from the away team to come back from 1-0 down. And very quickly, cricket or footy for you? Which one do you prefer to call? What's your first choice?
Yeah, I've been asked that a lot over the years, and my answer has generally been the one that I'm doing in the moment.
Yeah.
And it's still a bit like that, but I suppose as I'm getting on, I mean, football continues to be exciting and stimulating, but it's also a bit tiring, and so, you know, doing a couple of games day and night through the course of a long season, if you ask me sometime in mid-July, I'd probably say, bring on the bloody cricket. But and honestly, doing something that I've been doing in the last few weeks covering this series has been an absolute thrill. But, you know, I would never say that it was something I preferred broadcasting to the footy, because it's been my bread and butter for it's actually getting on for 50 years, yeah. Would you believe?
Yeah.
And, you know, I'm most grateful for all of that. And that's what brought me to sport, being taken to the footy by my dad, as the story for so many of us. And you never forget that.
Well, you do a great job. Thanks for your time, Tim.
Thanks, David. And Malcolm, good to chat.
Yeah, great good to stuff. Catch up again.
Tim Lane there, yeah, extraordinary broadcaster, both at cricket, footy and other things as well. For Tyre Power, selected Kumho tyres, you can buy three, get one free. Tyre Power, think safety this January. Get the 5-minute safety check at your local Tyre Power. Malcolm Blight and David Wilde, Sports Day SA.
Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.
Flighty and Wheels for Weeks, $25,000 cash discount is helping more families build their dream home. Enjoy more, visit Weeks. Sam Landsberger, regular on our show, always like his input, writes great articles and covered the from the Herald Sun, covered the test series and so many things. It was an amazing series, and Sam joins us. Sam, thanks for your time. What an incredible test series. Australia win the first, you think they're going to win 4-0, and they actually lose it. No one saw that coming.
Thanks for having me, guys. Yeah, it was the most extraordinary home test series I've ever seen, that's for sure. As you say, roll for 36, captain flies home, surely it's all over. But what India showed from there, and to storm the Gabba with a test attack that had played, what, four games and taken 13 wickets between them, I think is just something we'll probably never see again. That was sort of like the Western Bulldogs in 2016, just a fairy tale where everything clicked against all odds. And, what a summer.
The depth of India, remarkable. What do you make of Justin Langer? He mentioned 1.5 billion Indians, I think, three times in his one answer. You think he was having a dig there, or is you genuinely when he congratulated them?
No, I didn't like that, to be honest. I picked up on that as well. I mean, if we're going to use that rule, then it should be Victoria taking on New Zealand, shouldn't it? I mean,
yeah, that's exactly. Like
a very similar population. So I think that's a cop out, to be honest. I think where Australia got this wrong was probably getting outcoached to a certain level. I mean, you look at the plans that India executed, their bowling plans were bang on, even in that first test against Adelaide and then at the MCG. They just strangled Australia by bowling with, you know, the field stacked on the leg side. It was something which a lot of the batsmen couldn't work through. I think from a planning point of view, they got it right, and Justin's probably going to wear that a little bit. I don't think it's got much to do with the population.
Actually, Sam, you took the words right. I actually said that earlier in the week. I said, well, hang on, that means we should beat New Zealand 28 million to nil. And all of the 1.5 billion, you know, they all don't play cricket. They all haven't got a cricket bat, and a lot of them don't have shoes.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? I thought it was. And what happened to the previous 80 years when we've flogged them for years and years and years? Never a mention of that then.
Exactly right.
Yeah,
it's a strange comparison.
Yeah. Now, Sam, your wonderful article, I cut it out, and I've been talking about this ages. Now, some of our listeners, and particularly David Wilde opposite me, they've come back and said, what is Sam Landsberger on about here? So listen, here we go, mate. Pat Cummins, you had him at 8.5, the best of the Aussies. Yeah. Just in, we won't do everyone,
tick,
but just one
tick.
Tick. We said 9 even. So congratulations on getting Pat.
Is that where it ends?
Yeah, no.
No.
Hell no. No. David Warner, you've given him 5.5. The town is screaming at that. Should have been much lower, yeah. They're saying.
Oh, we'll clarify. This is for the fourth test, not for the series. So I think a few people might have thought that included his two failures.
Are we talking about the Brisbane test only, are you?
No, this is fourth test only, not the series rating. So I think that's probably important to establish. I think the newspapers might have done me over a little bit.
Yeah, they have, mate.
The online version was crystal clear. This is fourth test only. So, but even so, I think Warner still might have been a little bit generous at 5.5. But it did look all right in the second innings, and I thought he got a pretty good ball in the first over.
Oh, hang on. Sam, you've just killed all my thunder and all our listeners, because I'm sure it did not say, because I actually cut it out. I've got it in front of me, and it didn't say. It just says rates the Aussies. I don't think it said.
You thought for the series.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay, I can divide by two, but just imagine you're getting smashed anyhow.
we'll play on with the series.
Sam, the interesting one for me was Nathan Lyon. With figure-wise, probably had one of his worst tours ever, or in Australia against opposition. But, see, they put down some catches. I remember Tim Payne missing a couple of stumpings and dropping, I think he dropped Rishabh Pant really early. So his figures could have been a lot better. I think as bad as perhaps the figures represented.
Yeah, I think that was the word from the Aussie camp as well, particularly after the Sydney test where those catches went down on day five. They were pretty happy with the way Lyon was bowling. He struggled early on day five at the Gabba, but then he brought a bit of energy back. I think he got, was it Rahane, or he got a big wicket late in the day. So he wasn't quite as off the mark as Mitchell Starc, but when Rishabh Pant took him down with a few sixes, it sort of changed the momentum, and it's pretty amazing to say that he's finished the series without his 400th wicket. When he gets that in South Africa, it's going to be like drinking non-alcoholic beer. It's not going to be much of a celebration, is it?
No. Now, which camp are you? Oh, non-alcoholic beer. I haven't tried that. I don't think I will. Hey, which camp are you in on Tim Payne? Should stay, should go. I know he's done a good job up until now, but I thought some of the field placings, like everybody else and all the experts were saying, the wicket-keeping, there was a lot of things go wrong after the test here.
Yeah, it's a really good point. I think there's definitely a question mark. I'm happy to sort of forgive the 5 minutes of banter we had with Ashwin at the SCG where he's lost his line middle a little bit. I'm worried about the fact that you look at Leeds in the Ashes and then you look at the SCG in the Gabba, winnable positions on the last on day four and day five of three important test matches, and they haven't been able to get the top for the ball. And I think what you said about field placings is bang on. I mean, they got that horribly wrong when Ben Stokes was batting at Leeds, and you know they gave him the strike quite easily, and they basically gave him, you know, built the platform to him to be the hero, and to not get the job done on two day five pitches in Australia is unforgivable almost. So, well, I'm happy to sort of almost forgive the brain snap we had at Ashwin behind the stumps, but tactically there's a legitimate question mark.
Yeah, one last one. When your colleagues from another paper wrote, he thought Aaron Finch should be the captain because he's tactically better than anybody else, and he used the analogy with Mike Brearley from many years ago, but surely these days you have to be good enough to make the 11 or 12 before you become captain.
Well, I actually wasn't aware that had been written. Now, that certainly wouldn't be something I would endorse. I think Finchie is probably resigned from the fact that he won't play Test cricket again. So I can't see him leading the Test. He's probably got a, you know, he's got 32, 33. He's got three World Cups coming up, and I think it's a question mark whether he can hang on for all those three, let alone captain in the Test arena.
Yeah, Sam, thanks for your time, and sorry Blighty gave you such a hard time with those those ratings, but no, it was the fourth test. Well,
they were excellent ratings for the fourth test, Sam.
I'm sorry to take the air out of the Blighty. Thank you, guys.
Great stuff, Sam Landsberger from the Herald Sun there. Really appreciate his time. For McRib and El Macca, they're back at Macca's. That's right, the saucy McRib and legendary El Macca are back at Macca's this summer. Grab yours today. Blighty, you know you don't have phones on during interviews.
I can't believe it.
Unbelievable. You don't make mistakes like that.
No, it just, I got rattled because of the...
Until you got rattled when you tried to turn them off. You've been 8 goes at it.
I did.
Car sales, number one for cars. The car sells every 30 seconds on car sales. Enjoyed the night again. Tim Lane, as always.
Yeah, terrific.
He's really, really pro Tasmania, isn't he?
Yeah,
absolutely.
He has been for years. So, been a voice of Tassie for many, and a voice of reason too. Always a good argument, and it was always the economic argument. That's still a bit of an issue, you know.
Yeah.
But if the Tasmanian government's prepared to put money in to, say, North Melbourne and Hawthorn, if they redirect that to a Tasmanian team, surely they could find a little bit more to help them.
And Aaron Finch, the captain, you've got to be joking.
No, not on my watch.
I've always felt you've got to get in a team on your own merits.
Yeah,
then
of course.
You pick a captain. That's how it works, isn't it? You don't find someone off the street, so you're a captain.
No, I couldn't.
Then pick your own team.
Couldn't agree more.
Okay, Blighty, have a great weekend. It's going to be a hot one. You stay home with Patsy, feet up, glass, perhaps a couple of beers rather than glass of red, I reckon.
Well, and you find some fish on the Murray. You're going to a little sojourn up the
creek,
aren't you?
Yeah, one of your
up the big creek.
Former teammates, Brucey Twelfthtree,
yeah.
Johnny Roberts.
Excellent.
But the back's not real flash. What a time to go.
Just sit back. Get someone to bring the drink to you.
Unless a man would not have me going, but I'm definitely going. Blighty, have a great weekend. See you Monday, same time between 6 and 7. Bye for now.
Bye, David.
Sports Day for Kia. Step up into the all-new Kia Stonic SUV and Lumo SA. Energy from an Australian-owned company, that's Lumo SA.